They had never had a woman in the almost 150-year history of the Notre Dame Alumni Association. They'd never had a woman at the helm.
I'm MK Anderson, and this is First 100 Days. A podcast where we discuss the idea that if the first 100 days of a presidency are so important, they're likely to be important for anybody else's career and life moves. We'll talk to CEOs, first-time parents, startup bros, and more to discover if the first 100 days are really that important. The Notre Dame Alumni Association has over 100,000 living members, clubs all over the country, and its flagship in Chicago. Today, we're chatting with Dolly Duffy, the Executive Director of Notre Dame's Alumni Association, to learn what her first days and initiatives were like as director in 2011 after the previous director's 30-year tenure. Well, thank you so much again for being with us today. How are you doing during this time?
Well, doing well, MK. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you.
Again, like I said, thank you so much for chatting with us. And for, I know we have a lot of Notre Dame listeners, but if we don't, if there's the rare few that are listening, would you mind giving us a quick background as to what it means to be the director of the Notre Dame Alumni Association and why that's such a big deal?
I would love to tell you about it. I love my job. It's a job that's definitely suited for me. What it means to be the director is really means that you manage a team. I have a staff of 39 people, and our sole goal is to figure out how to engage our alumni in the life of the university. And the part that's missing out of that, that often surprises people when they don't understand the nature of the job, is I don't do anything that has to do with fundraising. Now, a lot of alumni associations do, but in our case, there's a definite divide between what they do in development and what we do here. And so as a result of that, we look for ways to engage our alumni in all kinds of different means that would resonate with them, from spirituality, from camaraderie, from sporting events, from academia, all kinds of things. And we look to put programs in place that allow people to connect back to the university and the university to connect to our alumni and friends of the university.
And to give some context for everybody, how big is Notre Dame's alumni network and the larger association?
So I would say that we have roughly 140,000 living alumni. But then there's that category of friends, Subway alumni, they're often referred to. And in many cases, we have friends of the university, friends of the Alumni Association, who run our Notre Dame clubs across the country. And it depends upon how you might define that. But I would say in the database, it adds maybe another 100,000 people that in some way, shape, or form follow different things of the university.
That is a lot of people. And did you mention how many clubs there are? Because I know that the Chicago club is the largest one, but I feel like there are Notre Dame clubs all over the country.
There are 270 clubs worldwide, and 220 of those are in the United States. And most of them, there, we always have a few that what we say go dormant because of a lack of leadership. Someone leaves, it's a small club, and we are constantly trying to get those clubs back up and running. But for the most part, the clubs function at a level that never ceases to amaze me, the work that they do and the amount of volunteer hours that are put into running these clubs.
So I feel like Notre Dame has a really strong alumni presence. Do you feel like that's something very true, or do you think that this is something that other universities and other people that you've chatted with have a similar feeling?
I don't mean to sound arrogant, but I don't think there's another group of more committed alumni in the country. And maybe there is, and I haven't met them yet. But I would say it's rare that I can come up with enough opportunities for our alumni to give back their time, their energy, their talent to meet all the people that want to do something. I'm a part of a group of executive directors of private colleges and universities, and they often will say to me, some of them say, we just want your alumni because they'll do anything. And I think there's some truth to that. They are committed volunteers.
So then when you filled the position, because you at first were the assistant director, right? So when you filled the position of director, how did that pressure feel stepping into the role of director of probably the most robust alumni association in the country, heck, maybe the world?
Well, and not only that, I stepped in and as the first as the associate executive director for 3 years, and then I took over as the executive director from a legend. Few in this world are quite as enthusiastic and fabulous as the late Chuck Lennon. And Chuck was in this position for 30 years before I took over. And when they first asked me if I would consider coming back and then preparing to potentially take over when Chuck retired, my reaction was, who in their right mind would follow Chuck Lennon? Because he really was and still is a legend.
And so what were some of the preparations you took to take over? Because like you said, to take over from a legend is pretty daunting. It's kind of like, I mean, whoever has to fill Muffet's shoes right now, right? Like, we know she's amazing, but there's still got to be that pressure there, right? So what did that preparation look like for you?
Well, the university had that in mind. And so I spent 3 years as the associate executive director with the entire staff reporting to me, so that I could learn the ins and outs. And it's, you know, a staff of 39. So learn all of the elements of the work that we do, the kind of work that we have done in the past, the work that we could do before actually filling the role as executive director. And it was interesting because they had never had a woman in the almost 150-year history of the Notre Dame Alumni Association. They'd never had a woman at the helm. And that was a big concern about what would our older alumni think when all of a sudden, for the first time, there was a woman. So so it was really interesting to take over. And I will tell you that our alumni were amazing from the day that I stepped in. And supportive, you know, the older classes, the class of 42 was one of the first classes that really pulled me under their wing, invited me to some of their things, and they've been really incredible. But one of my favorite stories that I love to tell is that I was out early on a trip with Coach Kelly and a couple of other people from the football office, because he's been gracious enough to do a number of events for us since right when I started all the way till now, 10 years later, in both of our, we started at a similar time. And so we were at, all of us were at this event. It was a cocktail party at someone's home. And we had done an event with our local club in the community over lunch. And this was later on. And this man walked up to me and he said, "So what do you do for the university?" And I'm sure thinking that I worked for athletics because I was there with the other people from athletics. And I said, "I actually work for the Alumni Association." And he said, "Oh, wait, I heard Chuck Lennon is retiring. Is that right?" And I said, "That is correct." And he said, "I heard they hired a woman to fill that spot." And I just was so taken aback because I hadn't heard much of that. And I paused and we continued to talk. And then I stopped and said, "They are, but you know what I heard?" And now he really wanted to know. I said, "I heard she's really talented." And then we just kept going. And all of a sudden, about 3 minutes later, he stopped and looked at me and he burst out laughing. He said, "It's you, isn't it?"
And do you think that your time as an early Notre Dame alum, because you were at Notre Dame in that first decade of them letting women into the university, do you think that time had prepared you for those sorts of responses that you might have gotten?
I actually think that it did, but I think the greater preparation, are my four brothers and my sister, three brothers who are older than I am, who were relentless in preparing me to be able to take anything that came on.
And do you think that any of your time at your career before this, because it's not like people just graduate school saying like, "Hey, this is my path to being Alumni Association director." What part of your path do you think prepared you for these roles as well?
I think it all kind of added up. When I first got out of school, I worked for a couple of years as a press secretary to a congressman on the Hill. So I spent a couple of years in D.C., loved that. And then I did a little bit of work for a major PR firm. And then the last 18 years before taking this over, my husband and I ran a business together. We ran a company together. And I learned so much about management, about the kinds of things that you need to do to move an organization forward when you're at the helm of it. And I think all of it together kind of prepared me to do this.
And so then when you took over, were there any sort of big goals that you had in mind that you wanted to accomplish in, say, the first year, the first 5 years?
Well, I think at first it was just figuring out how do you stand on the shoulders of a giant and then build from all of the great things that he put in place. And when Chuck left, there were a number of staff people who were ready to move on. They stayed for Chuck. And so it was then beginning to figure out how do you craft a group of people that can take an organization forward with incredible vision. And it's one of the best teams I think I've ever worked with.
One of the biggest things that I've really loved and benefited from the Alumni Association is the Notre Dame Women's Connect group. Would you mind speaking about that a little bit? Because as we mentioned before, Notre Dame did not become a co-ed university until the 1970s. And now they make up 50% of the population there. So could you talk about the formation of that and how maybe having a woman as the head of the Alumni Association be kind of that driving force behind starting that new initiative?
Well, I get more credit than I deserve for the starting of that initiative. It was really done at the grassroots level. And it started with a group of women that put together something and did a book called Thanking Father Ted, because Father Hesburgh was so supportive of women and said at one point in time that the university couldn't be a great university when it's only serving half of our population, meaning just men. And so that group really was the forerunners of getting the ND Women Connect up and running. And then what we found is we had a lot of women that in many cases, we had women that hadn't taken the time to join a club, or they were busy raising their families, or they wanted to connect differently. And this actually gave them an opportunity, an avenue to connect with each other, to connect with the university, and ultimately to get involved in some of our clubs in places that didn't happen before. And now we have an ND Women Connect board that's part of our affinity group lineup, and some very talented women that have been part of that and run that now. And I'm always just so impressed with the work they do.
If you could chat with anyone, any other director of an alumni association, what would you say is the number one thing you think helps create a connected group of alumni? Because so many people talk about how the Notre Dame family is so strong, that Notre Dame people will travel and that people feel like they can connect with one another just knowing that they too went to Notre Dame. What would you think is at the core of that? And how do you think you as alumni director, you know, like push that into the family across the United States?
In many ways, I'm following the lead of so many other people at the university. And I really believe that. We start when they're in high school, right? And people want to come to Notre Dame. They come to Notre Dame, and it's the kind of person that comes to start with. It is all of the values that are fostered through their time here, through living in the dorms, through the connectedness that they have. 80% of our students do some form of volunteer work while they're on campus. And so you begin to see how that formulation occurs early on. I have a son, my fourth oldest child, who just finished his freshman year at Notre Dame. And he's the first of my children to go to Notre Dame. And after the welcome weekend, as we were departing and heading down the road to go home, he started laughing and he said, I just want you to know that I truly believe that Alumni Hall is the greatest dorm on campus. And he kind of looked sheepishly at both of us and he smiled at me. He said, "See, Mom, they're really doing their job already." And he understood that it was a process that began with welcome weekend and then never ends. So we get to add to it. We get to add on to what's already built and an enthusiasm for the institution. We often say, you know, what are the first two questions that you're asked? One is, what year did you graduate? And then what dorm did you live in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I ask people all the time, because for some reason, even if you never lived in the same dorm as me, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Now we're best friends. And then from that, what are some of the other things that you think are really important for people to get connected to, no matter what club they're in across the country?
I think that people have to pick and choose what it is that resonates with them. What is it that motivates them? What gets them excited? We did about 3 years ago, we did a whole process of re-envisioning the Alumni Association, taking our cue from our alumni to try to figure out, what do you want? Not what do we want to deliver to you, but what do you want? And we heard some profound messages. And I will tell you the one that stuck with me. There's a bunch of them, but the one which you'll appreciate, because it's your group, the young alumni, which we define as 10 years out and less. And I had been in all these meetings with other executive directors, and they all said, you know, young alumni aren't interested. One of the major schools, I'll be nice and not name it, said, our young alumni hate us. And I was so taken aback by that. And then the discussions about how do you engage young alumni, and everyone said, you know, they're different because they've got their phones and this is how they engage. And so I was completely delighted when all the data came back, and it was enough people answered the survey that it was definitely statistically sound. And so many of our young alums said, not only do we want to be involved, but we want more. And the underlying message there was, but you have to figure out how to engage us in our way. And if you can figure that out, we'll become more engaged. And so we put together a young alumni board that comes back to campus twice a year. We instituted last year the first ever Domer Dozen, which is a dozen young alums who have done great things, many in all kinds of capacities, from healthcare to work overseas to the military, all kinds of things. First of all, giving recognition for the great things that our young alumni are already doing, and then having them begin to craft what should we do going forward to engage that group. Another area of really strong engagement for us, and it isn't for everyone, and a lot of schools couldn't do this, but it's the area of spirituality and our outreach there. We have someone that writes a reflection on the gospel reading of the day every day of the year, and it goes out to over 100,000 people every day by their request.
Dang, that is so... I mean, it's just so expansive, and it's really fascinating to hear how you guys have to, you know, shift and change, because I'm sure it's easy. I mean, Notre Dame is so tradition, and like that's just the word I think of when I think of Notre Dame is tradition. And it's easy to say like, well, this is how we do things, and just hope that everyone keeps coming back. But it's awesome to hear that you guys are shifting and changing with how people are shifting and changing. And have you found that in this technological time, and especially now when students had to go home for the end of the semester, that you've had to brainstorm different ways to interact with newer alum? Other than having that board, what would you say are some of the things that you've had to change with how you interact with new alum?
We worked really closely with the senior class council to figure out, you know, what it is and how we could engage with this class going forward. And there are a number of different things that we are doing, but one of which is that we're getting on a new platform for the whole Alumni Association. And it's much more robust and much more user-friendly. And this class said right away, we want to be on it. We want you to build a site for us so that we can share and we can move forward. And that's promising. And this will look more like a lot of the social media things that our younger alumni are used to working with. You know, another area that we were fortunate that we had just launched in September is Think ND. And one of the things that came out of our re-envisioning and the surveys and the focus groups and all of that is the people know that the academic product at the university is so coveted, but nobody knows where to get that. How do you access it? What do you do? So we launched a platform that started with over 400 pieces of digital content, and we're now up over 900 and growing of different kinds of everything from a podcast that's done at the university, to a lot of video of things, you know, talks, speakers that are coming in, and also some articles. And it's all categorized. We do an email. We have a number of people that get an email from us every Monday, and it tells them what the focus is for the week. And so we've done a lot with healthcare recently. We've done a lot with, you know, if it's depending on what the week is, we can push out a lot of different content that people might not find otherwise. That has just been huge. Then we did something with MK. I don't know if you did God in the Good Life. Do you know that class?
No, I don't.
So this was a class that came fairly recently, came out. It's a philosophy class, so acclaimed that the professors got a grant to help take it to other schools because it's just done so well. So we asked that professor to do a mini course, very mini version for our alumni, like four different sessions. And it was all around the question, what makes a life good? And there were readings if people wanted to do that. And then we held one in-person event on campus. And the response to it was overwhelming. We did the local event here and thought, you know, well, we get 25 people, and we've probably had 200. And it was the first time ever doing something like that. We're getting ready. We have another department on campus that came to us, and we're going to do a shared read and a whole academic program around a book. And then the outreach is coming from Kylemore Abbey in Ireland. So you'll have that to look forward to. And we think that there's an opportunity for our academic. We're working with the provost's office. They've been phenomenal partners on this to figure out how do we just take some of this content and keep our alumni and friends tied to the university in a way that they want.
And I know that a lot of your job also, like you said, you have a really great partnership with Coach Kelly. How do you think you will use this time that's kind of up in the air of if football will even happen to engage with alumni coming back to campus?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. What we normally do on a football weekend is we have what we call Football Fridays at the Eck. And on a Friday afternoon from noon until 5, we'll often have upwards of 2,000 people come through our building. And it might be because we're interviewing a former coach, Lou Holtz. I had the great joy of introducing or interviewing Hannah Storm, which was really great. She was a lot of fun. And so we do those live interviews on stage. We have music, dollar hot dogs. And it's just all about how do we bring people in and engage them because they're already on campus. You know, 2,000 people might push the limits of what they're going to let us do with the coronavirus. So we're just waiting to see and get some direction from the university about what does this look like as we go into the fall. And absent that, we'll continue to find ways digitally to reach out to our alums. And we know it's not as good as being there, but that'll come back.
And what do you think has been the hardest part about being the head of the Alumni Association? Because Notre Dame is they're going to get some pushback. People don't always love everything that the university does or stands for. And so what would you say is some of the hardest parts about kind of being that face of Notre Dame in a way?
Well, you know, certainly people have a lot of opinions about the way things should be done. And, you know, sometimes they catch you off guard. But what I'll say is, I feel like everyone has earned the right to have an opinion. And by and large, 99.9% of them deliver that opinion with really a great message in a positive tone and just want the university to get better. So that's not the hardest part, because the opposite of them doing that is the fact that they are unengaged and disinterested. And I often say when I talk to other executive directors who are still trying to figure out, how do we get our alumni interested in us? How do we even get them to care? That we don't really have to ignite people's passion. We just have to figure out how do we harness it? How do we direct it? How do we fulfill what they want from their alma mater? And so is that hard? It's not hard, because it's all positive. So I can't really say that there are a lot of hard parts of it.
That's good. That's like what you want. Well, if there's anything that you could tell a recent graduate, especially the 2020 grads that didn't have, you know, that cherry on top sort of end of Notre Dame experience, what would you tell them? Because what I feel like I would want to tell them is to engage in that alumni family, because that is something that is going to almost soften the blow of not getting to be with your immediate classmates. But what is something that you would tell a recent grad from any university?
I completely agree with you that that's the way to extend it. That's the way to continue. You know, don't wait too long to come back to campus. I know that we'll have the joy of having the class of 2020 back to campus next Memorial Day. And so we couldn't be more excited about that. It's almost like a graduation and their first year reunion all at once. Something that no one else has ever been able to do. I would tell them that for those that are feeling like they're in a bit of despair because job offers might have been rescinded, you went to Notre Dame and the opportunities will always be there. They may not be there at exactly the right time, but that's not because of you. That's because of the situation. You've proven time and time again that you're able to reach past whatever situation you're in and outrun it. And I think that this is no different than that. And that Notre Dame is always here for you. If I wish that in many ways, I wish that our alumni knew how often and how much all of us here on campus pray for them. And it's certainly in these times more than ever that people find meaning, that they stay healthy, that they are together with their families. That's what we want. And part of that is your Notre Dame family.
Oh, well, that's such a one. That's just so nice. Like, I'm sorry. I get so sentimental over Notre Dame anything. But if they're, shoot. Well, basically, I was just going to say thank you so much. Like, that is just such a great ending. But I wanted to give you a chance to plug any fun initiatives that are coming up. I know you mentioned Think ND. Is there anything else that people should look forward to? Or is there anything that even non-alum can do to be a part of the community?
Yes. You know what I think I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about, especially during these times, and it's a resource that we're putting a lot more in. Not quite 3 years ago, we launched something called Irish Compass. And it is an online platform that is pretty robust, and it has alumni, but it also has a chance to set up mentoring relationships. And so I would say there's a job board. There are all kinds of things. We're doubling down on our efforts to work across the university with others that can help people get their resumes in line, help people understand how to do more interviewing. A lot of that is done by the Career Center. The Career Center has been an unbelievable partner in all of these things that we do, and they continue to try to partner with us going forward. The Career Center is for the first year out, I think, still is, you know, can work with our alumni, but then after that, they come over to us. And so what we're doing is trying in these times to help people find meaning, find jobs, look for opportunities, and we're trying to put as many of those up there as we can. So if you've not taken a look at it and you are a Notre Dame alum, go to Irish Compass.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for chatting with us today.
Thanks, MK. Take care. Stay healthy.
Thanks for listening to this episode of First 100 Days. Original music by Dan Chmielinski, and feel free to tell your friends. Bye, y'all.